Brother, I'm going run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get a moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no holds barred, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold.
What is up, everybody? This is the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I'm We Too Deep. That is DJ Wavy D. And we got another episode here for you. And it's going to be pretty simple. If you go to another podcast that the Junkyard Media Group does, Beyond the Junkyard, hosted by my brother Junkyard James and my friend Cody, James went on a little 10-minute rant to start his podcast last Thursday. I recommend checking that podcast out. It's a little bit hardcore. If you're a more casual fan, you may not understand all the history, but it's a good podcast. Me and Wavy D watch it, you know.
Yes,
gotta send support. And we're gonna break down this little 10-minute rant. Wavy D, in the middle of his episode on Thursday, was like, oh, we gotta get him on the show. And I wasn't watching at the time. I went back and watched it, and I was like, look, there's no reason to bring him on. He's gonna say the same shit anyway. So we're just gonna play the video in its full context, in its fullness, all 10 minutes. And then we're going to respond to it. But before we get to that, just like the last few weeks, if you go to that QR code in the bottom, go buy you a Cody Crybaby. Sharat got a new shirt where he's slapping Cody. Go buy it, but use that QR code. Go buy you Roman Reigns merch. Go buy you R-Truth merch. Don't buy you Cody shirt. So you don't need to support. No, I'm kidding. If you like Cody Rhodes, go buy that. If you like Mommy or any of your favorite wrestlers, title belts and all, use that link. Show support for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And like always, go to junkyardmediagroup.com. Check out our blogs. Wavy D just sent me his Raw review, mm-hmm. which will be posted at a decent time this week. I completely forgot last week and posted it on Friday. I'll post this as soon as we're done recording it. And so another blog post from him in his weekly Raw reviews. Eventually I'm going to start writing about NXT. I just haven't found the motivation to start writing yet.
It's tough. We record during NXT, so it's tough.
Right. And I don't tend to, my day off is Friday, so I don't tend to watch till Friday anyway. And by then, like, no one really cares 3 days after. So we'll eventually get to me writing something. We'll see. But with that, I'm going to share this video here. We're going to watch it 10 minutes straight, and then we'll give our opinions on it and have some discussion. Then we'll end the show like we always do with questions from Discord and Thirsty Tuesday. And that's going to be the episode. Real sweet.
Great selection this week, as every week.
Great selection this week. Yeah. All right. So let me pull this video up. Oh, come on. Where'd it go? There it is.
People. Here it is. Cody Rhodes, Jade Cargill, CM Punk, Andrade, Sean Spears. I forgot one that I thought about a little bit later. Brian Pillman Jr. But anyways, can we start saying that WWE loves to sign ex-AEW talent, or does that only go one way? And let me explain. When AEW was being built, every damn time they signed an ex-WWE guy, whether it be Adam Cole or Keith Lee or Swerve Strickland or Chris Jericho or whoever else on their roster that used to work for WWE and they went to AEW, the biggest complaint from the people that just want to hate on AEW was all they do is sign ex-WWE guys. They can't create any homegrown talent. They have to sign guys that were popular in WWE. And I'm looking at the rosters. And WWE, let's take a look at their championships. Their world champion is Roman Reigns. And many say that, okay, I'll give him that. He started in FCW. I'll give you them. That's WWE territory before NXT. I'll give you Roman Reigns. But let's look at some of the other champions that WWE has. Seth Rollins. He is not a WWE guy. He was not a WWE homegrown talent. Tyler Black was known in ROH and independent circles for years before he came to WWE. Damian Priest, Finn Balor. They weren't WWE homegrown guys. They were known across the world, New Japan and other indie promotions in the foreign areas. For those who don't know, Damian Priest went by Punishment Martinez before he signed with WWE. Finn Balor was one of the biggest founding members of Bullet Club before he left New Japan and went to WWE. You look at people like Logan Paul. He's not a WWE talent. Logan Paul only signed with WWE, only had the opportunity to sign with WWE because of the persona that he built over the last decade. The popularity that he himself had to build. WWE didn't make Logan Paul. Logan Paul made Logan Paul. And now he's just working in WWE. So the point is, then you look at AEW and who are their champions. For the longest of time, before Samoa Joe, Maxwell Jacob Friedman was and is the longest reigning AEW champion. And yeah, he had a little bit of a run in MLW. But I would say that AEW made Maxwell Jacob Friedman a bigger name than MLW did. You look at someone like Orange Cassidy. Half the damn people in the world didn't even know who Orange Cassidy was until AEW. AEW has built Orange Cassidy into a pretty big name. You look at Ricky Starks. You look at a few other people in this narrative here. And then you look at the people that WWE has signed recently. Cody Rhodes built a persona outside of the WWE, comes back to the WWE using that persona. WWE can't create anything different for Cody Rhodes because that's the Cody Rhodes that people want. Jade Cargill literally uses the same exact entrance logos. And basically, her persona is the same. CM Punk, his persona has always been the same. Even from WWE, you can't change CM Punk's persona. CM Punk is CM Punk. Andrade comes back at the Royal Rumble wearing the mask that he got over in AEW. That wasn't his persona before he left WWE the first time. That was an AEW thing that he carried over back into WWE. And Sean Spears is essentially the same character, the chairman gimmick that was created in WWE. The only character that WWE has changed that they signed from AEW is Brian Pillman Jr. And I think the only reason they did so was so that they didn't have to bring up the past of Brian Pillman. I think that's what they did. And where is Lexus King? He had one big feud with Carmelo Hayes, I think it was. And I don't even know if he was on the last pay-per-view. Where is he? He certainly hasn't gotten over with the NXT crowd. And you look at Sean Spears and look, I'll give WWE this. I think they might book him a little better. I'll say Tony Khan booked Sean Spears completely wrong. He should have been a bigger piece to the puzzle. I think Sean Spears has the talent. My problem isn't with the wrestlers. He's getting a paycheck again. I don't care where he wrestles. My problem is with the fans because they're so hypocritical. When someone jumps ship from WWE to AEW, it's, oh my goodness, look at AEW. All they do is sign ex-WWE guys. When you're top talent in WWE, 95% of your current champions, Gunther, was well-known before WWE in Germany and all the European countries. That's another one. You look at Rhea Ripley, made her name before getting to the WWE outside and like Australia and the independent scene. And yet they're not homegrown talent. I'd say there's more homegrown champions in AEW than in WWE. This isn't the question of whether or not you should want to go to the WWE or not. It's the question of, can we be consistent with the comparison? If it's wrong or if it's a problem when AEW signs a lot of ex-WWE wrestlers, then let's be equally critical when WWE goes on a massive spending spree of ex-AEW wrestlers. And this is the great part about AEW, is now there's an atmosphere where people can go from company to company to company and find the fit that they're in. That's why AEW is needed, to create competition, to create an atmosphere where people, where they're feel, if you don't feel you're treated right in one company, then you can go to another company if you think they're going to treat you right. I already know in a couple weeks, when Mercedes Moné debuts in Boston, all the old WWE fans who loved her to death are going to be like, she'll never get over, she'll never do this, she'll never do this, just because she's in AEW now. When Okada shows up in a couple weeks in AEW, which, by the way, was pretty much confirmed next Wednesday in Duluth, Georgia, Okada's probably showing up. So, hey, We Too Deep, get ready to buy that AEW shirt. They're going to say, well, he won't get over, there's too many talent, they have too many people, where's he going to fit in? He's going to be in the mid card. But yet, when WWE does the same exact thing and they hoarded talent for years, they get a pass. It's just, it irritates me, not necessarily because Sean Spears left. I don't think AEW is going to necessarily miss Sean Spears, for the reason of, they didn't really use him in the first place. And that's AEW's fault. They should have booked him better. I will give you that. Sean Spears is a really good talent. He's going to do probably good things in NXT. But the problem is with the fans. If you're hypercritical on one side, you need to be hypercritical on the other side. And at the end of the day, I honestly don't really care that he's wrestling in an opponent's company. I think he's going to do much better in NXT than he was doing getting passed from faction to faction in AEW. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but that's just kind of
all right. So before I'm gonna let him Wavy D here have the first words, but before I pass the mic to you, I just want to make this quick statement. That will be the most boring 10 minutes of this show you'll ever sit and watch. But I will say this. It's probably the most entertaining and most animated I've ever seen him on his podcast. Congratulations. More of that. More entertaining rants like that. And I don't know. I liked it. What do you got to say about it?
Okay. So let me start off by saying that James and Cody are some smart wrestling fans. They know the history, the business, all right? They're no slacks. They know their stuff. And, you know, you didn't hear Cody's take on that. He kind of let James do his thing, let James do his rant. But I will say, James, oftentimes, as smart as you are, you have selective memory, I will say. So his whole discussion on his pod stemmed off a tweet that he put out. He put a little preview to his episode in a tweet. He lists off names like Cody Rhodes, Jade Cargill, CM Punk, Andrade, Sean Spears. And then he said, can we start saying that WWE loves signing ex-AEW talent, or does that only go one way? So first, so we all know AEW has only been around, 5 years? They celebrate their 5-year anniversary or something like that?
Yeah, 5 years. Yeah.
Okay. So we say a guy like Cody Rhodes, guess what? He has more time spent in WWE than AEW. Mm. He also got trained and developed in WWE. Because if you recall when Dusty came back for that short storyline, I forgot how Cody got introduced. That was literally Cody's first wrestling matches. Mm. Like, he was an amateur wrestler in high school. He got trained in WWE. He's a WWE homegrown talent. And then, you know, he felt like he wasn't being treated properly. Like, he wasn't. Like, he wasn't being treated properly. So he went and started his own promotion. Guess what? AEW and their fan base kicked him out. They drove him out. They made him want to leave and come back. Let's see. CM Punk, more years in WWE. Of course, he honed his craft in ROH, had a little bit of time in TNA. But guess what? Especially around those times and before AEW, I mean, even currently, AEW is a stepping stone against WWE. Let's be honest. Mm. But even before AEW was around, the spots like TNA, Ring of Honor, all these indie places, they're all stepping stones to get to WWE. And then my main thing is, when it comes to this argument, is like, so based off of James's take, when I was listening to it live, what I got from it was, so you're telling me that a baseball player who grew up in Dominican Republic or Japan, who plays in the Dominican League or the Japanese League, shouldn't aspire to make it to the big leagues, to the big show, the bright lights? Guess what? You put in work of 10 years in the indies, a 5-10 year stint in TNA, just to make it and smell WWE. Let's see. A lot of names that you listed off, Jade Cargill. Guess what? I'll give you Jade Cargill. You guys put her on. You didn't train her the best, but guess what? You put her on. You gave her a spot. You gave her a name. So I'll give you Jade Cargill. Let's see. Wrestlers like FTR. That's what you can have them. Like I'm saying, they're indie guys. You know, saying they might be the greatest tag team in the world. That's possibly true. But again, they were on WWE. They're great NXT guys. Main roster made a little bit of noise. But guess what? They just didn't like the way that Vince ran things. So they went to AEW. But guess what? A lot of your guys, or a lot of AEW guys, are coming back to WWE because we got a change at the helm. You know what I'm saying? No pun intended. No helm. You know what I'm saying? We got a change at the Helmsley. You know what I'm saying? Vince is gone. His old school way of doing things is gone. Wrestlers like Triple H. They like the way that him and Nick Khan are running things. You know what I'm saying? So wrestlers are coming back to WWE. And I don't know, like your guys like Sean Spears, guess what? He also probably spent just as much, if not more, time in WWE before going to AEW. Andrade, he was a world champion in NXT before going to AEW and getting nothing. And also like, when we say that you guys sign ex-WWE talents, we're talking about when y'all first started the company and y'all signed guys like The Big Show and Mark Henry and Dustin Rhodes. And like you guys were all about being something new, being something for like the alternative,
right?
But you're signing all the old guys. Like you're doing, like what?
Yeah.
Like you want to be the new breed. You want to be the alternative. You want to be a bigger promotion for the indie guys who can't get a start in WWE because they don't have the build or the body or the I don't know, the mic skills. They're just great wrestlers. That's what your company was founded on, being an alternative. And guess what? Being alternative does not mean you're on the same playing field. Like that means you are a stepping stone to get to the big leagues.
Right.
You can go ahead. I'll tag on after some stuff you say.
Right. So to add on to that, let's stay with the sport analogy you used. And this is the question, rhetorical to the audience, but you can answer as well. Would a now branded UFL, the Rocks Football League, would not a player there not strive? You know, they admit that they are a stepping stone to the NFL. They applaud it. Anytime one of their players make the Pro Bowl, they post it. Look, we can get you to the NFL. That is AEW. Can we not say that is what AEW is? And so, to me, he listed off, first off, I'm a little confused. As much as I liked the sort of charisma you put out there, in there, the lack of intelligence in those 10 minutes, it wasn't an intelligent argument. It was an argument for certain. There wasn't anything really consistent about your own argument. So you wanted to compare champions, and every champion you named from WWE, I would consider homegrown. No one knew who Walter was when he got here, which is now Gunther. No one knew who he was except for the PWG marks who watch, you know, independent wrestling overseas. No one knew who Tyler Black was unless you watched ROH, which was very little even back then. Mentioning Roman Reigns and saying that he's not anywhere near WWE, like, he is the homegrown talent.
No, that was the exception. He said that Roman right. Reigns was FCW. He said that he was the exception.
Let's go down the rest of the champion. He mentioned Rhea Ripley.
Yes.
Please, when she even started wrestling? Like, I had to look this up.
So apparently she wrestled high school gyms over in Australia. And we're supposed to say that she made a name for herself and she was well known.
Right, so he said most Australian wrestlers are not world renowned. She's only been wrestling. She's 26 now. She started wrestling at 17. So I had to look this up on Wikipedia, but she didn't come over until she was Rhea Ripley in the Mae Young Classic in 2017. She only had 4 years of experience in wrestling before she made it to WWE. Like, WWE made Rhea Ripley what Rhea Ripley, no one even would have heard of Demi Bennett, which was what her name was. No one would have even known who that was. The fact that she only got signed because in the Mae Young Classic, she outperformed what anybody thought. Even though she did lose to Tessa Blanchard in the first round, like, she outperformed almost everyone in that first round. Finn Balor, no one knew who Prince Devitt was unless you watched New Japan. No one knew who Punishment Martinez was. Like, the people, for you to say that these guys are world-known, renowned superstars shows that you live in the small bubble of the wrestling markdom. Which is fine if you want to live there, but understand that that's like 3 million people in a global population of 8 billion people. Small, niche audience. So I don't necessarily understand what you're arguing here. The argument just wasn't consistent to me. Like, Cody Rhodes was sort of his big name he wanted to try to throw at it. So Cody Rhodes is WWE, like, through and through. Legacy, Stardust, Dashing Cody Rhodes, Undashing Cody Rhodes, Mask Cody Rhodes. And that's even before going to the Indies. Like you were saying, he has more time in WWE than AEW has ever been around.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shows sort of like his ignorance to the WWE product, because when he ends it with Lexus King, oh, where is Lexus King? Well, I don't know, on NXT every single week, involved in every single storyline, because that's the type of heel character that he's in, where he just sort of fucks around with people. And then to say he's not over, I don't know if I would say he's the most over, but the fans like him.
Yeah.
He's a lot more over than Brian Pillman Jr. was in AEW. I don't know. Listen, not only did I listen to it here, you know, to build my argument, I listened to that whole his whole 10 minutes like 4 or 5 times today. And every single time I listened to it, the more funnier it got. I don't know. I don't know exactly what he was going for.
I mean, like, I feel like it's one thing if you were, like, if it happened where, like, in a 5-month span, we were to sign MJF, Darby Allin.
Right. If we, like, took the
Britt Baker, Sammy Guevara.
If we took the 4 pillars of AEW that they made, look, I'll give you Orange Cassidy. You built a star out of Orange Cassidy. I would arguably say you didn't build MJF because he hasn't changed in 8 years. He built it himself, and he's
from my point of view, as a more of a casual than you
right,
are.
Right.
I knew MJF was before AEW.
Right. So yeah, you built MJF, you built Orange Cassidy. Whether or not you like him, you've built Darby Allin, you've built Eddie Kingston. Like, you've built some people. Now, if WWE were to go sign all of them, then yeah, you have an argument. But our argument now isn't, oh, they're stealing all the ex-WWE. We only use that because in the first 2 years of your company, as you were saying, you were the alternative, but we're going to sign everybody who made a name for themselves in AEW or in WWE and then not use them.
Yeah.
So that's the argument we made. I don't know a single WWE fan that even argues when AEW signs somebody now.
All right, correct me if I'm wrong, but AEW chose not to re-sign Brian Pillman Jr., Alexis King.
Correct.
AEW chose not to sign him.
Correct.
But guess what?
They chose not to re-sign Sean Spears. And I want to mention this a little bit. Sean Spears is like almost 50 years old. I didn't know that, first off. But second, this dude has been on WWE TV. If you go all the way back to like early 2000s when he was Stan and he got super kicked by Shawn Michaels. Dude's been on WWE TV longer than half of my life. And then to say that you built him, like, he was only popular enough to make it on the indies because of the Ty Dillinger gimmick.
Yes.
So, which is why I'm a little upset that he stayed as Sean Spears. I would have rather Ty Dillinger back. But it is what it is. You want to do what you want to do. Triple H, I trust you. You've earned a little bit of me believing in what you want to do.
I'll give them Jay Cargo. Like, they made Jay Cargo submit to a name. They presented her nicely. Give her, 55 wins or whatever.
Right.
But also, even Jay Cargo said out of her own mouth, AEW was a stepping stone.
It was a stepping stone. They weren't going to put her above Britt Baker. And so this is my biggest complaint with how they presented her, was she was good enough to be TBS champion, but they never got her near any single person of the big four. Toni Storm, Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, and Sheeta.
And they said records matter over there.
Right. They never put her anywhere near that type of talent. She hasn't wrestled a singles match yet, and she's already stepped to Bianca, to Charlotte, to Becky, and sort of the Kabuki Warriors. Didn't she step to Kabuki?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she's already stepping to the big names, and she hasn't even wrestled anybody yet. So, the presentation for Jade Cargill, I will say she's going to be far better presented than AEW ever did with her. Is she AEW talent? Absolutely. But that's just like, okay, if the Celtics built Jason Tatum and then traded, first off, if you trade Jason Tatum, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a problem. but if he traded Jason Tatum to, let's say, the Warriors can't claim they built Jason Tatum. So, you can't claim Cody Rhodes because, he made your company. He's WWE. You can't claim him. You can't claim Sean Spears. You can't claim Andrade. No one knew who he was. I didn't even know what a CMLL was before he came here. All the people he named outside of, but let me even, throw out other people that people don't realize that, are they AEW talent? I don't necessarily think they are. Fallon Henley, she was on AEW Dark. They didn't sign her. Cora Jade, same situation. They threw her on Dark. She didn't get signed. WWE scooped them up. That doesn't mean we poach talent from you guys.
I'll give AEW the benefit of the doubt is because, when you're a new company, you want to get attention to your product. And you want to grab big names.
Right.
And for the last, before they came around, the previous 20 years, it was just WWE, and you had a few guys who made big names on TNA.
Right.
So, all your, historically, all your guys are going to be WWE, history.
Right. If anything, first off, I don't know why this even came to be. Like, Sean Spears isn't doing anything in NXT. He's literally there to put over Ridge Holland from and other superstars. Like, he's 50 years old. They're not going to put the title on him.
Yeah.
So he's not going to do much of it. This is one last run. He'll probably transition into some sort of trainer role, which is probably what's going to happen. But this is a Triple H saying, thank you, I'm going to give you one last run. You know, there's a respect there. And so I don't know. I don't see the reason why the rant even had to be made. Like, but I'm glad you did. It was funny to listen to. We're going to transition, though, into some questions here. Witter's loaded us up with some this week. The first one, maybe the toughest one, who eats the pin in the Cody and Seth versus Rock and Roman tag match? Night one of WrestleMania. Who do you think eats the pin?
Who do I think eats the pin? I think Seth. I would say Seth eats the pin. Like, unless I don't see Rock turning on Roman that fast, like, in their first tag match, and like, you can't pin Roman before,
right?
I mean, unless you want to make him look a little weak, like, give Cody like even more of a chance, like, story wise, make it look like Cody actually has a chance. But I'd rather see Bloodlines rules the next night rather than no Bloodlines.
So the question ultimately believes, or what do we think the story is? Is it going to be Bloodlines rule on night two, or is it going to be no Bloodline allowed? I think it's going to be Bloodline rules. That's the only thing that makes any sense at all.
Yeah,
it makes it a no DQ, which allows for the traditional Roman Reigns style match. With that being said, I'm going to have to agree with you. Seth is eating this pin. Now, I'm ultimately of the belief, and I've just sort of come to this opinion, Seth Rollins going to turn on Cody Rhodes. I'm 100% now on this train, and I'm going to stay on it until I'm proven wrong.
Is it because of that camera angle?
The camera angle, I just think... The idea that, you know, Seth Rollins is 0-3 and I think like 0-22 in lifetime against Cody Rhodes or something like something crazy like that.
The house shows or whatever.
Yeah. And so I don't think he forgets about that with knowing who Seth Rollins is. And I just think it makes more sense, you know, leaving Mania. You're going to France the next PLE after. To put, assuming Rollins retains the title, I don't think he does, but you could sort of play around with the idea of potentially doing Cody versus Seth at Backlash, that being the story you leave it. Because you need to build a car. You know, you're going to France. You got to get a major pay-per-view out of it. No. So I just don't know necessarily how you build to these bigger shows. But yeah, I think Seth is turning. I just have this feeling.
See, the part where I'm not quite sold is because, like, so where does Seth get his break at? Like, they were talking about, like, he's gonna take a break after Mania, get some surgeries done, heal up or whatever. So, like, if he turns, that puts him right into a program, because you can't turn and then go MIA, because then when you make a return, people are gonna pop because they're like, oh my god, Seth, we miss you.
Right.
And like almost every time someone returns, you kind of get the face treatment.
Right.
It's hard to make a return as a heel unless you come out and you backstab someone. So like, unless his turn comes later, like he calls Cody down the line or turns on Cody at his return. I just don't. I mean, I guess, you know, because Backlash is gonna be in France, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the big the international PLEs, you do want big names for it. And so I guess that's why he gets Seth.
And France doesn't really have a superstar on the roster they can build a show around like Germany and Australia does. So I'm not necessarily certain what they're going to build this around. Because the next two, they haven't confirmed Saudi Arabia, but they traditionally do Backlash and then the first Saudi show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Money in the Bank. And so... I don't know. We got a lot to really look forward to. I don't know. Just everything that I'm looking at, I would not be surprised if Seth Rollins turns on Cody, maybe takes the pin here, and then turns the next night on Cody. I don't know. I have a feeling it's gonna happen.
I think in between the two things is the tag match, and I'm assuming Seth and Drew.
Right.
Well, also, who is the tag match main eventing night one?
I would assume the tag match is main eventing night one.
If it main events night one, you're gonna have a lot of angry folks backstage. Because you're thinking you're having Bloodline main eventing two nights in a row. Like, I think Bloodline might play. I think it might be earlier in night one, because you either gotta have Drew and Seth main event, or you gotta have Rhea and Becky main event.
I think it's gonna be the tag match. It's gonna be the tag match.
You're gonna have some angry folks backstage. There's gonna be some reports coming out of unhappy talent if that goes.
And it's gonna happen no matter what. People are always upset. The Rock's back. You know, people are gonna be upset no matter what. So I think we're both in agreement, though, that Seth is going to eat this pin.
Out of the four of them, yeah, he's most likely.
Yeah, so the most likely, right. Because Rock ain't taking no pin nowhere. Especially
not a tag match.
Right. And then you're definitely not going to have Roman take a pin. And Cody, the only way I could see Cody losing is if they decide, hey, we're going to try to, you know, have him lose this one match here, and then to sort of make it feel like he's not going to have a chance in the next, you know, the next night, and then maybe have him win. But I don't think he's winning night two either. So you can't have Cody take two pins on the same weekend. So yeah. It's got to be Seth. Next question here. In light of this gauntlet match happening what, next week, to determine the Gunther's opponent, who would you like to see face Gunther at WrestleMania?
All right. So for those who don't know, amongst the six competitors who are going to be in this gauntlet match next week, when they're faces Gunther at Mania, it's Chad Gable, JD McDonagh. I don't know how he worked himself into that match, but Chad Gable, JD McDonagh, Sami Zayn, Bronson Reed. Who else are we missing? Wait, so Chad Gable, JD McDonagh, Sami Zayn, Bronson Reed. It's not Ivar, is it? No.
Maybe. I don't actually remember, to be honest with you.
Oh, no. That's only five. Anyways, I'm still missing like two people. Oh, Ricochet. And Andrade? Was Andrade the sixth person?
Let's see.
That's bad. I just watched this last night, but I was so upset at the gauntlet match that I got sidetracked. I was ranting over Mr. Tess's stream.
I think it is Andrade.
So I'm not gonna lie. Okay, well, just to get the answer out the way, I'm picking Chad Gable. I think Chad Gable goes on to face Gunther at Mania. I mean, you could do Andrade, but I think Andrade has some other stuff going on with Judgment Day that's gonna. He's gonna be intertwined with that.
Oh no, it's not Andrade, it's Shinsuke.
Oh, Shinsuke? Even worse. Anyway. So I'm upset about the gauntlet match, because I feel like we had some good stuff brewing to where we could have got a ladder match at Mania. Mm-hmm. Just imagine a 6-man ladder match at Mania for the IC title. Just,
right.
You remember how good the last one was where Zack Ryder
won.
That was a great match. Ladder matches at Mania are always great. They always go to the fullest. Even if you didn't want to do that Mania for the title, you could have done the number one contenders match, a ladder match on Monday Night Raw.
Right.
Like going into it. Or guess what? What would be even better if you didn't want to risk people in a ladder match? Just put them in a 6-pack challenge and a 6-way match.
Right.
Just let them cook. The gauntlet matches are stupid. They're all the same.
Right.
It's terrible.
If you wanted to do a gauntlet match, and this was what I would have done, if you wanted to have, so the question is like, who do I want to face? And so I'm going to answer that, but then who do I think? So I do think it's going to be Chad Gable, unfortunately. But how would I book this? I would have had the gauntlet match at Mania, and had the last entrant. So Gunther goes all the way through, have the last entrant beat Ilya Dragunov.
Who well, just no, lost. You can put Gunther in the gauntlet.
Not because have Gunther, he starts the match. He's got to defend the title. He's got to go through the whole division. He goes through Big Bronson Reed. He goes through Ivar. He goes through Chad Gable. He goes through Shinsuke. Goes through Sammy. You know, add one more. And then the last guy, Ilya Dragunov, who just lost the title to Trick Williams at Stand and Deliver. Pissed off. And this can set up, you know, Dragunov winning the title, leading into, a feud going into Bash at Berlin, where either Kaiser can get involved in some way and win, or Gunther can win it back, or even how Dragunov retains and make that German crowd happy.
The only problem is Bash at Berlin is so far away from Mania.
It's August. I mean, it's only 4 months. Only four months.
Only a 4 months build for the IC title. Well, I mean, like, okay, so like story wise, and like I can get behind watching that. I'm just mad at what could have been. Look, also, Dominic stayed in this mix. I don't get why Dominic.
Why?
He had a great match last night.
Exactly, Dominic Mysterio is the most underused wrestler. He's more than just the fucking sidekick. He's the best member of Judgment Day. He's the best member of Judgment Day. Like,
I don't know. I feel like it was just very underwhelming, especially the way they hyped the announcement. In my Raw review, if you guys go read it, I said that we got like a Tony Khan letdown of an announcement. Like, they're hyping us up. I thought Adam Pearce was about to just drop a banger on us for Monday Night Raw. You know, saying Team Red all the way. I'm not gonna lie, Adam Pearce. I'm gonna hear it in the Discord from like Starry Night and Kara and all them. Starry Night's gonna say, "I told you so." Adam Pearce is dropping the ball.
Right.
Adam Pearce, you dropped the ball a little bit. All right, I need that ladder match. I need that six pack challenge. If you're not gonna do the ladder match, I get it. You don't want your guys to get hurt before Mania. Do a six pack challenge. Let them cook. Give them like half hour of Raw for the match. And like, we could have cooked up something crazy, but now we're getting this dumb gauntlet match where you got one guy who goes in, he lasts through two guys, the two heels, and then guess what? Another heel comes in, beats the good guy, and the heel loses to the next good guy, and the good guy goes against two more heels, and then guess what? He powers through.
If like, that's how this match is booked, you're right in the show, and you can't convince me otherwise.
Every gauntlet match is the same. You have one guy who wins, then he loses, and that guy goes on and wins two or three opponents, and the last guy comes out and loses. So you have that one guy who goes through three opponents just to lose to the last guy. And right. He's like, the last guy's like, I ran the gauntlet. No, you didn't. You beat one guy who had three matches. You wouldn't have gone. It's like the Royal Rumble when they come in 30 and they say, I outlasted 29 other guys. Like, no, you didn't. You came in 30th. With like six guys in the ring, you outlasted five people, not 29 other people.
Right. Absolutely understood. Moving on to this next question here. This is a good one. I got some feelings on this one. Will Naomi ever be back in the main event picture, or is she just good enough talent to be around, sort of like Natalya? And before I let you answer, please don't ever compare Naomi to Natalya. Like, don't compare anyone to Natalya.
I mean, I am a big Natalya hater. I will admit. I respect what she did for the biz, but I do hate Natalya. As far as when it comes to Naomi, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Our women's roster kind of stacked. Right. Like, I didn't really care if Naomi came back. I wanted Naomi and Sasha.
Right. That's the only respectfully. Reason. Right, that's the only reason it would make sense for her to come back, in my opinion.
Like, low-key, I want Naomi back so she can get involved in Bloodline business. Like, I want her like back when the Bloodline first started, back like 2 years ago, like when they were in that first year.
Right.
Low-key want Naomi and Tamina to form a tag team and become part of the Bloodline stable.
Either that or Naomi could have just, you know, she was somewhat popular before she got fired and joined Sasha. Yes. There was a popularity there. Like, I remember when I went to Mania 33, which is the Mania she won the title at, she was probably the biggest babyface on the women's roster at the time. But that was back in, like, 2017. you know, 3 years later, Bloodline still going on. It could have been very good just to put her in the Bloodline and have the Bloodline sort of distract. I don't know how you would do it because you can't really have men, you know, attacking a woman's match. But even if it was someone like Tamina and Nia Jax,
yes,
joining and then having Naomi come out and sort of having like a woman's Bloodline within the Bloodline and creating like an actual like stable out of it. I always thought that was a missed opportunity,
especially when they wanted to hold all the titles. Like you should,
right? Right. You could have held women's gold. You could have, like, I've even believed, like, when Solo was down in NXT, he should have even been a part of it and started winning NXT gold. Like, I feel like there's, as good as the story has been, there's some missed opportunities here.
Back to Naomi, I think, especially when she came back to SmackDown, like, the SmackDown roster is a little bit loaded right now. I mean, I think both rosters are a little loaded as far as, like, top-end talent. And then, like, Naomi's too good to mix around with the lower talent. She's caught in that no man's land.
Right.
Where it's like if they had a mid-card title WWE, this is where you put a Naomi. Mm. But, I mean, yeah, she's too good for the lower talent, like your Tegan Knoxes or your Natalias. But then she's not at the level of where the – sorry, I won't say at the level. But okay, I think she's a good wrestler. Her offense is just really – like, her offense is bad. I think she needs a revamp of her offense. The rear end is like the top five worst finisher in wrestling. I'm not gonna lie.
Maybe in terms of like finisher, but don't get rid of it. Like it's a good move.
Yeah, you keep it as a move, but like that's not a finisher. The finisher's trash. also, I don't know the way her new hair. I mean, her new style is. I feel like her hair is her face every second. It's throwing stuff off. I don't know. I'm being a little bit of a hater right now, but as far as Naomi, where she stands right now. She's not in that main title picture. She has to wait a little bit if she wants to get there. But she's going to get passed by people of Tiffany Stratton's of the world.
Right.
She's like, you know, WWE loves people like Liv Morgan. They're going to push her.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, she's going to get passed out by people like Cora Jade, people like Sol Ruka, people like Roxanne Perez. Naomi's going to get passed out pretty soon. So, I mean, if she, you know, she could be like an ambassador for WWE. She could be, you know, Jimmy's on the roster. Like, I think she should get involved with some Jimmy stuff, some relationship, like storyline stuff. But I mean, maybe form a tag team. Like, she got the high energy. Maybe take like Chance and Carter under your wing,
right?
Whatever. I feel like they got similar-esque personalities. I just feel like she joined the wrong roster,
right?
I feel like she could. I feel like if she made like a NXT appearance or a Raw. I think she'll be in a better position.
So my answer to this is, where do you actually think she fits in this roster? When you look at the roster, you look at Raw, you got Rhea, probably the best women's wrestler in all of wrestling right now. So you have Rhea, you have Becky, you have the potential, we don't know where Jade's going. And so you got two of the best in the business right now on the roster. You got Asuka and the Kabuki Warriors sort of bouncing between Raw and SmackDown right now because they're women's tag champions. Mm. And so I feel like this is just an overreaction because if you go to SmackDown, you got Bianca. You got, again, potentiality of Jade being there. Bayley's over there. Again, the Kabuki Warriors in that story. This goes to a question I'm going to ask at the end of the show that I meant to add it to the notes, but forgot and just thought of it again. SmackDown is loaded with a lot of other things going on. So where does Naomi fit? Well, you're not going to have her, you know, face Tegan Knox. So putting her against Tiffany Stratton makes sense, but you're not going to have her beat Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
So I think Naomi's in the right place for her. Like, did she get a lot of momentum in TNA? Sure. But that momentum instantly halted as soon as she put pen to paper on a WWE contract.
And I'm not gonna lie, like Naomi, she cool, no?
I like Naomi. I was probably her biggest fan. Like I said at WrestleMania 33, but that was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So Yeah, like, I mean, she's cool. I don't think it's a – I think a lot of people see being mid-card as a problem. She's just where she needs to be. She's doing exactly what her character should be, put over like, younger talent.
The bad part is because then you're going to have all the IWC folk and the folks who want to hate WWE and be like, look, Naomi Nurse came back. Now she's getting the same – a bad treatment before she left. And it's like, I'm not going to lie. So correct me if I'm wrong. When Naomi won the tag titles with Sasha, right, they were SmackDown superstars?
Yes.
And then Bianca was on Raw at the time?
Correct.
So I'm not – so right, as harsh as this might sound or as weird as this may sound, like, I'm not going to lie. She should have went to Raw because right now – I want to – like, there's no way to, like, really say this. Like, it's like – because, like, the term is, like – is like. Not diversity hire or a token black, but she it's like representation,
right?
Like Bianca is the representation. She's the face of the women's division, and who also happens to be a woman of color,
right? Know?
And I just feel like, especially in WWE's history, you don't have many people of color at the top at the same time,
right?
You know, saying like, you know, it should change. You know, what I'm saying, and like, there's talent there to where it could change, but historically. Like, as far as representation, there hasn't been multiple people colored at the top. You know, the closest you got was when Bianca and Sasha had that match at Mania together.
Right, right.
And now that you got Bianca, you got Jay Cargill both on SmackDown. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the best point to make. It just feels like she's just not quite. There's not really a spot right. for her on SmackDown right now. I feel like Raw would have been the better right. pick.
But you, I think you said it earlier. There's a simple solution to getting someone like Naomi relevant, and it's a mid-card women's championship. Mm. You do that. You put one on Raw. You put one on SmackDown. You instantly make the mid-card of the women's division mean something instead of just fighting for no reason. Mm. So, yeah, I mean that to me, that's the simple solution to get half the roster over. Is to put in a title. I feel like we're almost there. I feel like
I feel like this is the year.
Right. I think it happens this year. Not going to guess. I don't know. But I think Triple H has heard this opinion. It's been an opinion for a while now. Mostly from us in the CWC.
I'm just thinking about it. You know what's crazy? If you look at the women's roster, the women's layout. You kind of have a representation for each person, for each group right. of people. You got Rhea, who's the strong, masculine, like
right.
esque woman. You got right. Becky, the Irish lady, and
right.
you got like Bianca and Naomi and Jade, who are the strong black like role model characters.
Right.
But again, each of these kind of has one person at the top. You know, so you right. and you got Raquel, who's and Zelina, who go back and forth for, like, you know, Latino culture. And then, you know, you got Damage Control doing their thing for the Japanese
wrestling, right?
It's just kind of like you got people in their spots. And, like, even the men to a certain extent are the same way. But I feel like especially the women's, it's broken down to where, like, you got your spots for representation. Now, I feel like that's where Naomi gets lost at right now is because she – and also, like, okay, I'm going back. No, forget it.
but if we take out that part of the argument and just look at the roster itself in terms of who's over in the talent, Naomi's still middle. If I were to write out every single woman's wrestler, Naomi still fits mid-pack.
Mm.
Right? You're not better than Becky. You're not better than Bayley. You're not better than Bianca or Rhea. And with only having two belts, you have four people max fighting for the title at a time. So you add in, you know, Dakota Kai fighting against Bayley. I think that's going to be the feud throughout the summer for the title. You'll probably have Raquel versus Rhea throughout the summer on Raw. So these mid cards, Tiffany's going to be eventually this year. Roxanne Perez, not this Tuesday, not today's episode, but last week looked like she packed her locker up and she's about to get called up. So you got younger talent coming up. Naomi just really doesn't have a spot right now. And it's not like
she needs a character.
It's not her fault. It's not her fault. It's just the roster so stacked in WWE.
She needs a character change, I think.
Yeah.
I think that'll definitely help.
The glow thing is it's past its prime.
Yeah, EDM, all that stuff is outdated. Like if you the world title picture, like that image is something different now. It's not the EDM glow in the dark stuff anymore. It's like we're trying to like
take we want serious. Like it's like strong women. Right.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but you put Naomi in a match against Rhea, Bayley, Bianca, or Becky, she loses every day of the week.
Yeah.
So next question. What tag team would you like to see take the belts off of Judgment Day?
Well, I think the titles need to get split.
Right.
So I already have a storyline for that. I'm just going to say Awesome Truth, because what I think, like, honestly, what I can see happening and the way I would write it, Awesome Truth takes titles off of Mania. They defend the titles for like a month and a half or whatever, 2 months. And then you have R-Truth show up to SmackDown with the set SmackDown titles. Like, I thought me and Miz had a match here tonight.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Miz is chilling in Cleveland, you know, back home or whatever. Right. And Truth loses his house like pretty deadly or something.
Right. So did not last Friday, Adam Pearce, when he was talking to Pete Dunne, and I think he was talking to them, he said he had like a special announcement or something about the tag championship.
I'm
just reading the signs. I think this year we're splitting the titles.
I think Nick Aldis was talking to Pete Dunne.
Yeah, Aldis. Yeah, not Pierce. My bad. Wrong GM. I'm talking about the one that actually does his job. Nick Aldis on Friday said that. I think we're splitting the titles. I think to me, it's easy. Just have Nick Aldis go to Triple H and be like, bro, I can't run a tag division here because I don't got no titles. And it's literally just that simple. It's like, hey, how do you expect me to manage my tag teams when they have nothing to fight for?
Yeah, and Triple H and Pierce are just like, hey, put your best tag team up against us. We'll put the SmackDown titles on the line. And guess what? If you win them, it's yours. If not, stop crying. It's your chance to put them and shut up.
It's just that easy. With that being said, I think it's going to be Awesome Truth. But I am so tired of WWE pushing these tag teams that are just randomly thrown together. When you have so many actual tag teams on the roster, I'm not even talking about like Street Profits and New Day and all of that, but you got tag teams like the Creed Brothers that could use a title push right now. You got, you know, eventually the Viking Raiders are going to get back together when Eric comes back. Now, there's part of me that believes Ivar getting over this way. I think he's splitting. Eric's always fucking hurt anyway. So,
well, he got triple neck fusion, so yeah. I don't know when he's coming back.
Right,
but I have a storyline for when he comes back.
I think I read it in your little post, right? Where or somewhere you put it somewhere.
Yeah, you kind of run the Matt Hardy Edge thing back, where while Ivar was out, while Eric was out, Ivar was getting her antlers. You know what I'm saying? he was wearing her antlers.
That's crazy because Eric and her are actually married in real life. That's crazy.
So you write that in to split them up, and then, you know, Ivar drops the whole Viking thing and gets taken seriously.
I don't know. Michael Cole had the antlers on Monday.
You were excited.
I don't necessarily care at this point about the tag division. It's just because WWE has never really taken it serious. The only time they really take it serious is when the Usos or New Day had the titles.
Yeah.
And they're done. They're sort of past their prime. I think we get one more run with the Usos once this battle. Have they even announced that they're fighting at Mania yet?
Usos, no, but it's definitely in the works.
I would say it's in the works. Witters gave us another 3 push or fire. So we're going to go to the AEW ranks here. Roddy Strong or the newly returning Kyle O'Reilly. He returned at Revolution.
Well, see, I don't watch. How did he return? What happened?
I don't know. I just saw a picture of him and it showed that he returned. He looked like a little bum, but I think he helped Roddy beat Orange Cassidy after Orange Cassidy got dropped on his neck.
I'm pushing O'Reilly and I'm firing Strong.
Yeah, I think I'll do the same thing there. I don't care about either one of them. I'll be honest with you. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong are half the reason. The other half is Adam Cole and the other person. No, Bobby Fish. Undisputed Era is the reason I hated NXT when they were there. Like, they were pushed for 4 years straight, like, with zero story. Like, it would make some, like, literally zero story. They were just at the top for no reason. And
they're the bloodline without the story.
Right. So honestly, I'd fire both of them. But if I had to pick one to push, it'd be Kyle O'Reilly.
I'm not gonna lie. Now that Kyle's finally back, I would hit Fisher, be like, yo, Fisher, bro.
You trying
to come back, you know what I'm saying? Right. Get Adam Cole in there and finally give him that real push, put them up against the Bullet Club or something.
Right.
I'm cooking for AEW now, bro. I'm cooking for
them too. Tony, hiring? No. Tony don't hire a booking crew. He can do it himself. This one's tough for me.
It's easy.
We got Sol Ruka and Nikita Lyons.
I'm pushing Sol Ruka, firing Nikita. Nikita can't stay healthy.
Yeah, you use my literal reason as well. Nikita Lyons, and he literally hurt, comes back, first match, hurt again. Like, every single time.
Also, her finisher is trash. Sol Ruka has a great finisher.
Yeah, Sol Ruka is more athletic. Look, Nikita only got popular because of her pin. And once you get past it maybe two or three times, like, okay, cool. You do a split on your opponent. That's not really a pin.
You know what's crazy? Logan Paul does her finisher as a regular move in his match.
Right. She can't stay healthy. I don't really see anything spectacular other than she's thick, but there's plenty of thick girls on the roster right now. Yeah, I needed something to look at.
Also, I don't know, her fighting style doesn't really match her body.
Right.
Like, she's like, you know, I guess she's a striker and everything. It just looks weird. I mean, she looks like a Mortal Kombat character. Like what's her name? Sonya from Mortal Kombat?
Right.
That's the vibe she's given, like a video game fighting character.
And the last one is Cora Jade or in her prime, AJ Lee.
AJ Lee, I'm pushing, firing Cora Jade. Cora Jade can't stay healthy. And she's AJ Lee light.
Right. It's literally the same character, but AJ did it better.
Yeah, she's a proven commodity. She only left because CM Punk left.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he always got to throw in this food question. What's the best toasted bread? Is it, you know, your sliced bread or bagel? I feel like there's only one answer here.
Oh, okay. Before I pick, are we given a topping? Can we put a topping on it?
I would assume so. I don't know anyone that eats a plain bagel.
I'm taking butter toast from the diner.
Okay.
But if I'm making it myself, I'm taking the toasted bagel with cream cheese.
Right. Cream cheese. Now, it depends on what type of bagel we're talking about. Because some of these, I live in the South. We don't know what good bagels are down here. Like,
oh, yeah. You ain't got no Amis bagels. Shout out Amis.
You gotta go like up north. I'm talking New York, Connecticut, you know, Massachusetts. You no, gotta East, go.
Maybe.
You gotta go get you a bagel from up there.
When I come visit, I'll bring you a box of bagels. I got you.
But yeah, I'm taking the bagel. Like, I don't know, sliced bread to me, like, I can eat toasted bread all day and not really think of anything. But like a bagel to me, that's like, you know, that's a special event if I'm eating a bagel. I don't really eat bagels all that much. No, so
the toast from the diner when it comes with it's on the side with your omelet hash browns and you get that toast cut diagonally.
Right.
And you got essentially four pieces of toast, but you know, butter is buttered up. It's stiff, it's toasted.
I feel you.
The middle be droopy a little because the butter.
Right. I feel you. I mean, that's good, but I don't know. It's just something about, you know, a good bagel with, like you said, cream cheese. Now, I saw someone eat it with like salmon, like raw salmon. Get that shit out of here. I'm not that fancy.
They're not even fancy. That's people trying to be different. That's not even fancy. It's called bougie.
Right. Either one's good. I don't really have a preference. Two more questions. So one's yours that you suggested. The other one's mine. I'm going to do mine first because it's we sort of just had this conversation around this. Does SmackDown need a third hour of television?
Yes. Especially if they're doing all this bloodline nonsense. Right. You need a third hour.
Right. So I mentioned this in the CWC Discord. Didn't really get any answers. I wanted to have a discussion around it.
Yeah.
But the bloodline took 40 minutes this week. Not a problem. I have nothing against it. But if you're going to do 40 minutes of one storyline, you can't push anything else. You had Bayley and that story had to be pushed. Something's going to get left out, which what got cut? The timing for Naomi and Tiffany. So I think if you're going to do the bloodline, as long as you have to do it to tell it to its proper ability, you need a third hour so that you can what Raw has that SmackDown doesn't is a mid-card. And the reason they have a mid-card is because they have that hour throughout the show where they could display their mid-card. And even it, maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be on Fox. But let's say, hey, we continue on Peacock for the last hour of SmackDown. I don't know if that necessarily will coordinate with the fans very well. But something to get that mid-card pushed on SmackDown because there's not much going on there. Once I got past The Rock's promo, and really The Rock shouldn't have taken 30 minutes to fucking do that promo. I got some issues with that promo.
He does a lot of pausing and waiting and
repeating himself. Okay, we get it, Rock. It's the number one population for crack. You ain't got to say it every 2 minutes. So, it worked the first time, but the 20th time you told the joke, okay, we get it. But, I don't know. I'm excited he's back, but everyone compares this to, 90s Rock. I think this is the new Rock we've never seen, and it's, almost like a mixture of 90s and current Rock, and it's different, and it doesn't always work. I think he's trying to be he's trying too hard to be a bad guy. And he doesn't have to. He's going against Cody Rhodes. That's all you have to do to get booed. You don't have to make fun of the city anymore.
Yeah.
Where are they at this week? They're in Dallas this week, aren't they? Literally one thing you got to do when you go there, pop a Cowboys joke and leave it at it. They'll boo you the rest of the night. That's all you got to do. I don't know. This current Rock, I like him. I like that he's in the bloodline. I like the story we're telling. But you could have shaved 10 minutes off that promo and still told the same story.
Give me a third hour of SmackDown, especially when y'all go to USA, right? That's confirmed. Yeah, USA,
right.
They're good.
Right.
Is NXT going to stay on USA? Or where's NXT?
They are not. They're going to the CW.
Ew. All right. I mean, I have the app download, but I had it during COVID time, but I haven't used it in a long time.
I'm pretty sure CW's nationwide. It's free television.
Oh, wait, CW the channel or CW app?
The channel. You can get it on the app as well, but
okay. I mean, yeah, CW channel's fine, I guess. I don't know. I just wish WWE just put all their programming on one channel.
They should all just go to Netflix. But
I mean, it'll be like that soon. But yeah, SmackDown could give them that third hour, treat just like Raw. And let's get back to having some real interbrand warfare.
Yeah, I'd like that. Last question: you brought up this sort of suggestion. Apparently, Sammy Guevara got suspended today.
Yes,
from AEW. I had to look it up. Thankful we have Junkyard James there to defend the day of AEW. If you want him to type, just say something negative about AEW, he'll be there to defend. And so Sammy, got suspended for doing his finisher on Jeff Hardy after Jeff Hardy had got concussed in the match they were in. And I laugh because imagine getting suspended for doing your move. I get it. He had a concussion. This is more on the ref, though, than on Sammy.
Yes, this is on the ref. This is on the backstage producers. This is on the ringside doctor. This is not Sammy Guevara's fault. Right. Especially the same exact thing happened not too long ago. Remember what the, when Rey Fénix knocked out Jon Moxley and then the referee didn't count the three and then they had him do his finisher again.
Right.
And he dropped Moxley on his head a second time while Moxley was already concussed and knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? That was perfectly fine. Darby Allin could jump through glass and it shatters and goes into the second row. That's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
But Sammy Guevara, you know, as AEW has always tried to promote, carry out the match. The show must go on. If you get hurt, push through it.
I just
guess what? Sammy just did what every wrestler has
every
done.
Not even just AEW. Like, you're trained as a wrestler until the ref stops the match, you finish the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless you can't physically go, like you break your leg in half and can't get up, like you finish the match. Even when who was it in like the Divas era? She got dropped in her neck, broke her collarbone. I forgot who that was.
Oh, it was. Not Kelly Kelly. I forget. Candice Michelle.
Yeah, when she broke her collarbone, they still finished the match. They didn't do any spots, but they at least got a pin.
Yeah,
like you're told. Phoenix. Right, you're told to finish the match. So I can't blame Sammy here. This is on the ref. If he knew Jeff Hardy was concussed, you stop the match. You know, WWE has recently, you know, with Rey Mysterio and others, stopped matches. I think a referee has two jobs. You got to tell the story. You got to help coordinate the match in the ring, but you're also there for the protection of the fighters. And so it is your job to stop the match if someone's hurt. And if Jeff Hardy is hurt, which more than likely he's always hurt, you got to end the match. Mm. So, I don't know.
The crazy part was WWE, there was this 1 month stretch. It was like three matches in 1 month
that they had
to stop on the spot because of injury. The Theory and Carmelo thing. I think it was the Kaiser, Da Vinci when they're facing the New Day. Mm-hmm. And there was one other one. So like AEW bashed them for stopping the match early. Like hardcore fans like were coming at them for stopping the match for wrestler safety. But guess what? Over in AEW, and especially on the indie circuit, but you know, especially AEW, because that's like global, that's on, you know, national TV or global TV, however you want to look at it, whatever. They have a history and a trend, especially a recent trend, of continuing the match even if someone gets hurt. So Sammy Guevara does what you guys tell him to do, or he does monkey see, monkey do, and then y'all suspend him.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm not, you know, the biggest Sammy Guevara fan, you know, saying he's a little something there, you know, saying he got history. He's you know, saying he got suspended for other reasons. Go look up that. But
no, they ain't gonna work. They ain't gonna look it up. I'm about to tell them.
And I'm just saying, like, he's done something in the past that he should have got suspended for or fired for. But this is a practicing trend that they do.
Right. So what he was sort of referencing is this was my first response when you posted it, right? That he got suspended.
Yeah.
And so my response was, oh, the timing's weird. Because in 8 days, Mercedes Moné is getting an entire show in Boston for her debut. And for those who don't know, Sammy Guevara, prior to AEW starting, said some explicit comments about Sasha Banks and, you know, wanting to unconsensually have relations with her as we, you know, have to censor ourselves. Things that should not be said. He pulled a Vince McMahon. Let's just say that. He pulled a Vince McMahon.
He was on a radio show or something, or a podcast.
Yeah, he was on like a podcast and said that he
in 2016.
Wanted, yeah, before AEW, saying, you know, I would blank Sasha Banks. You can go look up the quote. I'm not saying it here on the show and get myself removed from the internet.
Unconsensually, I would blank her.
Right, and Yeah, those comp, you don't sign some. I'm sorry, Tony Khan, you don't sign somebody if you know that's said.
And then in 2020, when they resurfaced, he suspended him.
Right. I don't know, man. It's one of those things. Like Sammy, I lost a lot of respect for Sammy when he, on an episode, gets engaged to his girlfriend, and 3 months later, he's married to Tay Conti, a completely different woman. I don't know. I lost a lot of respect there. So, I don't know. It is what it is. Should he be suspended? No. This is on the ref. Why is Rick Knox not suspended? I'm assuming I didn't see the clip of him with Hardy. I don't know who the ref was, but why is that ref not suspended? You had a lot of issues with safety in this company. Shit. Roddy slipped on the ropes and dropped Orange Cassidy. Osprey had another spot with Takeshka at Revolution where he got dropped straight on the turnbuckle on his neck. I don't know who's approving these moves.
I think the Sammy thing was backstage politics. I think
more Hardys, than likely.
I think the Hardys complained OD.
More than likely. The Hardys got Hardys got some pull back there. But with that being said, we're going to go to our last segment, which is
Thirsty
Tuesday. And we got an interesting, you know, we talked about one of them, and that's Naomi. She's on the list. We got Electra Lopez. We got Carmella. And to represent NXT, we have Kiana James. I'm going to let you go first, like always.
All right. Oh. These are some amazing-looking women. I will say, number one's hard. It's between two of them. Just to get over, I'll say Kiana James, number one.
Okay.
Number two, Carmella.
Okay.
And then I'll say Naomi and then Electra Lopez.
Okay. So Kiana James is number one. I'll agree with you there. I'm putting Electra Lopez at number two. But I have a thing for Latinas.
I know you do.
So we're going to put her there. Carmella's three, and it pains me. I like Naomi. I really do. But I don't know. Some tough competition. Naomi's four, and I don't know. Maybe if the competition wasn't so stiff, she'd be higher. But, the other three, I don't
know. See, I put Naomi three because I like her, when she's not performing makeup,
right,
I like her.
Okay, we can't critique WWE makeup because they put more than enough on.
Well, no, say so. Like when Naomi is posting Instagram stuff, or when you see her on Total Divas, like chilling out at dinner with Jimmy or something. Like when she's like not in front of the cameras with all the WWE like prepping glam, I think she looks amazing. I think her WWE makeup like.
Everyone's WWE. They had fucking Shayna Baszler look like raccoon.
Yeah, I mean that was an improvement though for Shayna Baszler.
All right, before we get ourselves kicked off the internet, we're gonna close this one out. Thank y'all for watching. I'm Wee2D. That's Wavy D. And on announcement, I'm gonna start doing these little Wee2D by himself solo shows on Fridays. To give y'all some extra content. But so until next Tuesday, you'll see Wavy D. But until Friday, I'll see y'all on the next episode. Have a great rest of your week. Brother, I'm going run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been no holds barred, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold.
Ugh.